Oh, Peter, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, great. Sorry, I was mildly kind of confused by my own actions for a moment there, but that is just nothing new.
No problem.
Professor Emeritus Peter Lynham joins us every week, and we discuss matters of, well, of all sorts of nature, but religion is the overarching kind of, spirituality, I think, is probably a better term, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
But everybody knows that already because it's everybody's favourite segment. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good, good. What are we talking about today?
We have got such an interesting topic today. Over the last week, I've been reading an intriguing book called Fascist Yoga.
Yes.
By Stuart Holm. And I tell you, this has really thrown a huge challenge to the way in of and what the ideas behind modern yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess you would, I certainly thought of yoga as, to some extent, a kind of harmless, carefully de-religionized piece of Hinduism that has been altered and shaped to suit Western desires for better posture.
Well, actually, that is how I, that is kind of how I think about it now, but I was talking to my my mum's birthday dinner, and we were talking about all the things in the 80s that, as Christians in the 80s, we were told, and kind of talking about it as a little bit about how silly it was, I suppose, like, because, you know, things like backwards music, backwards messages in music, and like fear,
oh, yes,
these sorts of things.
That would be a great topic.
Yeah, I would be happy to go there. I've got a copy of a few of those songs we can play backwards. But anyway, but the one of them was yoga, and, you know, and it is so everywhere. It's obviously, and, you know, there's probably even yoga in churches everywhere you go these days. And but back in the day, it used to be this kind of forbidden practice. So I will leave you with that. That is kind of in the back of my mind. There is the memory of yoga being a forbidden practice, like Dungeons and Dragons.
And you're right. There is a particular group of Christians for whom anything that doesn't have a nice, clean Christian background is suspect.
Mm.
And especially if it's come from Eastern traditions,
yeah,
it's very suspect, because there is an assumption that all religions other than Christianity are in effect demonic.
Mm-mm.
Now, let's not go there, because, I mean, it's just at the starting point that doesn't leave a lot of room for discussion.
Yeah.
Whereas going through to the history of yoga, I mean, there is something really intriguing about this story, because yoga became very popular in the late 19th and early 20th century. And it did seem to be precisely this, that it was one of those movements that tried to draw on what they used to call the wisdom of the East.
Right.
So there was this idea that there were so many things that people in the Western world didn't understand, and this was because of our very rationalist, empirical approach to knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and that the East had never been affected by this. And so wasn't there some way to discover truths that we'd somehow been not allowed to look at?
Mm-hmm.
And quite a lot of movements stem from that. The most obvious is TM, but in particular,
that's transcendental meditation, is it?
There's a whole lot of Indian originated kind of religious transcendental movements. Really.
Right.
Yoga, though, was of a very particular flavor, because, you know, of course, yoga goes back for centuries in India, and is present in Buddhism, but also in Hinduism, and in a lot of sort of spiritual traditions of India. But posture is a very small part of this kind of yogic tradition. It's mm-hmm. effectively a type of meditation in which you take the sacred name, the Om, as it's called,
yeah,
and that this frames the way in which you unrelate from the present world and connect to the deeper truths of your religion. But what happened in yoga, and there are various forms of it from the various practitioners, was that it was supposedly completely secular. You didn't think necessarily around a word at all.
No, you were sort of encouraged to think. The way that we're encouraged to think about it is we're tapping into ourselves more than anything else, right?
Yes. And a bit of, you sat cross-legged.
And a bit of music, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. And had your own little mat, and you know, then you achieved that sense of being present with yourself. Those were the languages often used of yoga.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing is, in this book, Fascist Yoga, he sets out, Stuart Holm, to discover a history to yoga, which is not quite as innocent as it might sound. Now, you've got to grant that Stuart Holm takes particular aspects of the history of yoga and plays on them. And it's not to say that all yogic traditions are quite like this. But what it does show in a most interesting way is that it tracks down the man who first introduced it to Western readings, a man called Pierre Bernard, and then follows through the logic that yoga was using. And it wasn't just a notion of secularity. It was a notion which he relates intensely to right-wing trends, and so various groups, and in particular in Nazi Germany, finds that Heinrich Himmler, the great Nazi propagandist, was the strongest advocate. And in England, the advocates included people like J.F.C. Fuller and others who can be connected to Aleister Crowley. Have you heard of Aleister Crowley?
I will say, I don't mean to say of course, but I did have a bar called The Golden Dawn at one point. The answer is yes, I have heard of him. But I don't know too much about him, apart from that sometimes so Crowley, people say, is he your grandfather? Yeah. Ha ha ha.
Yes, so Crowley is the great advocate of secret knowledge that will give power to the people who hold it. And so Crowley's intention was to raid any traditions and create a power structure by which, of course, he would be placed in a position of power and influence over those who were dependent on him. And he had an indirect influence on a very odd movement that took place in New Zealand called the Havelock Work that started in Havelock North.
Wow.
And where a certain Dr. Falcon set out to rebuild a temple to the sun underneath his surgery. He was a doctor in Havelock North.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
It's a truly exotic story, the like of which would confound most people, but it connects to a whole series of conspiracist movements. Now, part of the secret of this seems to lie in the special training that yoga practitioners were required to have, and that in doing so, they're committed to a kind of silence of not telling the whole story. And this has led to some, well, quite disturbing stories. There's already been a lot of debate over yoga, even before this book, because in about 2017, the main yoga school in England was revealed to be involved, the yogic master there was involved in sexual exploitation of many of his people.
Is this the Bikram?
Yeah.
You don't hear Bikram yoga touted very often these days, for good reason.
Yeah, it's a pretty disturbing story, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you can see how, if you're in search of some kind of secret enlightenment, that there is a risk that you, in the process of seeking enlightenment, fall into traps that people will set for you, because almost by definition, you're not allowed to see the things that are secret.
Yes,
and
it's the cult.
Only by entering into the... See, it's very like a religious cult.
Cults, yeah, it's just sounding like Cult Watch again, yeah.
That's right. And surprisingly enough, these right-wing conspiracy theories, you know, not unlike the QAnon material, and many people have drawn that comparison with the QAnon theory that went around Washington during COVID, you know, that there was a secret place in a restaurant where people went downstairs and...
Pizzagate, yep.
Yeah, so this... See, we are in many ways very resistant to conspiracy theories because almost by definition we suspect that you won't know which way is up and which is down when you go into the rabbit hole of a conspiracy.
Right.
And so the best thing to do is to assume that what you see is what is actually there.
Yes, that these people are insane.
Only empirical knowledge is there. Unfortunately, I suspect that the times of people's resistance to COVID and the extraordinary change in people's outlook that took place at that time has forced us to realise it's not as simple as that.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, I'm not like leaping. I'm not going to try and finish your sentence on this whole situation with Yogi here for you. But no, there was. But it was overwhelmingly. You did see that there were people in the wellness with a capital W and some quote marks around it. Industry who were like definitely anti-vaccine and all that sort of stuff.
That's right.
And some of it started to get very peculiar, and suddenly they became experts on all sorts of other things, and it was just it was pretty. We've all seen it happen. It was probably why none of us use Facebook anymore, to be honest. But I am curious to know, just with limited time on the show, whether you think that whether you're sort of leading towards saying that there is a sort of sinister. Not a force at work, but if there's a sinister side to just sort of your yoga, you know, the yoga that's sort of just in the community hall down the road that you go and do, or whether there's are we talking a difference, like a specific strain of yoga? I'm just curious to see where the findings are.
We are not talking the average yoga down the road. But on the other hand, we are talking the key schools of yoga that are influential in the training of yoga teachers.
Right.
And that's it's quite an intriguing world, because in this they go back to textbooks that do have these connections, right-wing and fascist opinion. So Pierre Bernard formed something called the Tantric Order, and he claimed to be developing sort of unique version of translating Indian ideas into contemporary versions, about which he seems to have known very little. But he found people wanted to find some kind of source of harmony in themselves and in the universe.
Mm.
And in the process, he seems to have gathered a group of disciples who funded a great deal of his work. And so that the growth of what you might call the yoga industry owes its origins in part, I'm only saying in part, to people who are actually not telling you the whole truth about the factors that they're engaged in, so that they've got an idea of so that Stuart Holm argues anyway, that there's a kind of racist idea that yoga comes out of a pure strand of Indian thought, which is Indo-European. You know, the argument that the original stock of Indians was Semitic, and that these people are the same peoples who came to inhabit Europe.
Right.
You're aware of that?
No, I'm not. I'm feeling a little
So this theory that there was an Indo-European or Aryan idea, and there's a sped into the fascist theories about race.
Right.
And so they drew on this idea that they were representing the ideas, and this was how they justified the appeal of yoga at the time. And so a group of supporters grew up around it who published books and often in positions of significant influence. See, one that interests me is J.F.C. Fuller, because Fuller was a famous army theoretician of battles.
Mm-hmm.
He supposedly invented blitzkrieg warfare. And I have his textbooks on the theory of war in my historical collection. But actually, he was also highly interested in the ways in which a powerful putsch of people with a dedicated notion could break through both in ideas and in battle. So it seems as though there's a fabric for lying behind it. And the appeal, according to Holm, is that deep down, the desire for yoga is kind of hedonistic and narcissistic. So this is his theory anyway.
Right, right.
That there's the advocacy of the body as to be the perfect representation of humanness, and that we will be entirely focused on our own personal development. Now, some of the early ways said that this was very funny. I was highly amused in Holmes' book. Apparently the classic posture was not the lotus posture that we're now familiar with in yoga, but was standing on your head.
Oh.
And for most early Western yoga, this was the ultimate, was to learn to stand on your head, which filled your brain with blood and enabled you then to be fully concentrating on your personal development. Yoga, of course, has abandoned this because it's a thoroughly unhealthy position.
And come hard.
Yes, there is that as well. So what he's picking up is that the kind of hedonistic, sensualist approach reflects a certain take on the body, which was then picked up in fascist culture by the whole desire to develop the body and make the human, especially the Aryan human, a perfect example of the fullness of humanity if you strained out all the lower class and lower race influences in it.
I see. Sort of the master race sort of...
Yes, that's right. Yes. And this was the appeal. Incidentally, Hitler had no interest in this. This is Himmler, not Hitler.
Yeah.
You couldn't imagine Hitler sitting cross-legged and doing anything, I don't think. So it's kind of intriguing that ideas that seem purely neutral and in the way that they're presented actually are neutral. I mean, there's very in the kind of yoga teaching that you'll get from some sources, there's no religious or Hindu or anything like that left in it. But there is, its intellectual roots are very much, it would seem, in this right-wing tradition.
So we don't need to be breaking into Blockhouse Bay Community Centre and protesting just yet, but we...
No, I don't think so. I think probably it would be very difficult to talk the average yoga practitioner into joining the ACT Party, let alone anything more extreme than that.
True enough.
But it's an intriguing...
It's origins. Well, there's so many interesting origin stories that are, I mean, you know, that are kind of so... surprising.
That's right. I love them, of course.
Fanta, the Nazi, alternative to Coca-Cola when America was officially was not selling Coca-Cola to Germany. Mm. You're drinking a Nazi drink there when you're drinking that orange drink. It's interesting.
Conspiracies around Coca-Cola itself with the original cocaine that was in it.
Oh yeah. Get myself some of those old bottles. Peter, just a quick question for you, unrelated, but on the topics that we often talk about. But this is a social media trend. Have you watched, maybe we can talk about it, its implications and its kind of phenomena, but have you seen online these Scientology runs online?
Oh, yes, I have looked at this. Isn't this extraordinary?
It is, yeah. I haven't got time at all to talk about it, but maybe in the weeks to come we can talk about Scientology runs on TikTok.
Great.
All right.
Yeah.
Great.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Peter. You're amazing, as always, and we appreciate you. And you always give us cause for thought, and that is the most important thing.
Very good.
Thank you so much. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
See you.
Well, Harry, after the break, we're going to have some Delaney Davidson and then, of course, some news, weather and surf. And I'd like to get your thoughts on that. On what we've just talked about. But let's have some BFM and we'll be back with more in the minutes to come.
Let's have it.